Hey everybody, and welcome to the Trade Addicts podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Tyler Gee, and I have a trading problem. Big time.
Well, welcome to the club. Tyler's actually in my first Trade Addicts league, and I didn't know it at the time when I asked Tyler to be on the show, but we have a bit of celebrity on our hands. Tyler and his fantasy football franchise podcast made Ryan McDowell's top podcast to listen to. So thank you for being not only my first guest, but my first celebrity guest.
Well, I don't know about all celebrity. That's a fancy word. I just a dude that likes football and likes talking. And I found that podcasting allows me to do both of those things. So just happy to be on, man. You're a good dude. It's a good league. This should be a good time.
I sure hope so, because otherwise, why are we doing this?
Yeah, and I got to give my sales pitch. You know, I mean, if you're not following the fantasy football franchise at F3 Pod, you're doing it wrong, because you're listening to this pod, you got to listen to more pods, all the pods.
True, and honestly, listening wasn't even enough for me. I went out and purchased myself a fantasy football franchise t-shirt, because I needed to be part of the franchise.
Oh, man. Oh, and they're so hot. All right. Well, anyways, we can't get distracted. I've got ADHD to the max. We gotta do this thing.
Yes, let's talk about trades, because that is all I ever want to do. On today's episode, we are going to talk about the good traits and bad traits of traders. Then we're going to discuss a Trade Addicts trade that went down, and then we're going to play a game of floater, sinker, and pinch. But we'll get into that later. First, let's talk about the good traits of a trader. The first good trait of a trader is communication skills. Whenever you want to trade, the first thing you should do is reach out to a guy, message him, say, hey, you want to trade? Cold offers have their place, but if you really want to get a trade done, you message a guy, you say, hey, Tyler, you want this guy?
Yeah, the only time I will ever go against that, it would be if they just put that person on the block. So if you saw somebody update their status, like this person's on the block and this is somebody you're interested in, I find kind of like shooting a troll, a cold trade offer, because some people just respond like that. Like I've been in some trades where you message the person, nothing. But then they put somebody on the trade block and you send them a trade and they counter and then you accept and then you just move on. And I'm like, I don't know why this is how you operate, but okay. You got the trade done. Sure.
Oh yeah, trade block is absolutely a different story. Trade block is open game. The trade block is a guy saying, hey, see this player? Come and get him.
Oh yeah, and I've got one guy in my main league, when he throws somebody on the trade block, he's not just throwing them on the trade block. Like, he is getting rid of this guy by midnight that night. Like, he will not be on his team. Like, I don't know what it is, but he just woke up that morning and was like, screw this guy, I just want him gone. And it's like he literally, like every single time he'd be like, Tevin Coleman's on board, and you're like, what? And it's like, and 3 hours later, Tevin Coleman's gone. And it's like, oh, okay, there's no messing around. He takes that block seriously.
Hey man, it's good to stick to your convictions. You want that guy gone, you get that guy gone. And to talk about our next good trait, let's talk about you. You seem like a stand-up guy. I'm gonna bet when you send your first offer, it's a nice fair offer.
Yeah, I mean, so when I send an offer, I do like to send an offer that I think is fair, that is reasonable. Obviously, this trade is supposed to be in my favor. I mean, this is just like Craigslist. You know, if I'm gonna post a, let's say a guitar up on Craigslist, I know that I'll probably sell it for like $400. But I'm not going to tell them I'm going to sell for $400. I'll go ahead and throw it out for like $500, $550, and we'll see if we can negotiate down to where it is. You know, this obviously has to be in my favor. That's the whole point. Just in case this guy maybe has a weird ranking system and values and jazz and stuff and things. That's going to be a little in my favor. But it needs to be reasonable. And it also needs to be, and I don't want to jump into, we'll talk about the bad stuff later.
Exactly. Don't want to jump too far ahead. But that leads me to my next point. Your first offer has to be at least kind of decent, right? Don't want to send any crap trade offers out there. You know what? You're in two of my leagues, but I'll give away a little bit of my secret. My first offer is never really my best offer. My first offer is always one of those things where I would just be super happy if it was accepted, but I'm always willing to go a little higher.
And I'll tell you what, too, you need to know who you're playing with, because some people, their first offer is almost what they are going to do. Like, I have some people in leagues that will send an offer, and it's a really good offer. And I sit there and I debate back and forth. I'm like, do I want to do this? I'm like, because this is a trade. And I'll message them and I'll be like, hey, will you throw in a second? And they're like, nope. And you're like, but you can't blame them, because they come out of the gate just strong. And you're like, man, this is such a good offer. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I can't even, like, I feel like if I counter, like, what can I counter with? And like, the person kind of basically just says, like, that's where I'm at, dude. Either take it or leave it. And it's just kind of like, man, so just know that there's some people out there that aren't like that. That aren't going to say, oh, my first, they don't like to do the back and forth. Like, I know a friend of mine, he's in like 18 leagues. He's like, I don't have time to back and forth. Like, if I'm sending you this trade, you know, so that's something to always kind of know who you're trading with, know the people that are around you and how they value things and how they trade.
Yeah, good point, man. I'm in 14 leagues because I love the back and forth. There's never enough back and forth. I mean, you send that first trade offer out, yeah, great. You send a trade offer, but where's the fun in that? And most importantly, you're going to reject a trade offer. Everybody rejects trade offers. But if you do, make sure you let them know why you're rejecting the trade.
Absolutely. Don't just, don't just counter, cold counter. The thing is, though, too, this goes all right back to the communication and messaging first. If you're in a dynasty league and you don't have some kind of GroupMe or Voxer or Twitter group or hell, carrier pigeons, I don't care how, you've got to have some communication going up, because if not, you know, a lot of the trades I reject aren't even trades that are officially sent to me. They're just trades someone texts me. You know, they'll say, well, I'm thinking about Carlos Hyde and Adam Thielen for your blank and blank. And me go, no, that's much too steep, you know. And so there's not even this awkward reject, leave a comment, blah, blah, blah. It's like, just talk to me like a human being for 4 seconds. It's just easier just to kind of do the deal like that than I think it is to, you know, send the official paperwork, as I like to call it.
That's why my first offer is never my best. I like the back and forth. I like finding out where people rank people, where people hold guys in respect to the guys I'm offering them. Because every once in a while you can get lucky and you're trading a guy some dude who he values higher than one of the guys that you're trying to take from him. You know, better lucky than good, I guess.
and I know we're about to move into the bad section, and I have something that I have to. There are so many ways that you can just be a bad trader, but by far, one of my least favorites has to be the person that sends you a trade and you reject it. You say, no, I'm not about that life. This is not a good trade for me. And then they go to explain to you why it is a good trade for you. They start texting you about how, well, realistically, this player could be a top 12, blah, blah, blah. And that in this offense, and it's like, you don't think I know football? Did you get lost? And especially to people like me, like, I'm not, it's not an ego thing. It's like, but it's like, I run a website for fantasy football. I run a podcast. What do you think? Like, do you think I'm new to how I feel about the player X, Y, and Z that you just sent me? You're not going to just talk me into the trade. Like, what do you expect this to happen here? Like, me to go, you know what? You're right. Yeah, resend that. I'll accept it now. That has never happened.
He's got to show you that he's smarter than you, and you should do whatever he says, because that's what's good for you, what smart people tell you to do.
I just start going like old school, like when you just don't like that girl in college and she just starts texting you and you're just like, K. Like, that's when I just start just K-ing them. Like, I'm like, okay, Carlos Hyde's the greatest running back ever. That's fine. I don't want the trade. And it's like they sit there and talk about how this is a good trade and their players are going to be so great. I'm like, if they're going to be so great, then why do you want to trade them? Like, what are you doing? Like, if you're so high on them, then why get rid of them? It just doesn't make any sense. So don't be that guy. Don't do it. If someone's not interested, I don't care if you sent a future 2019 first for literally their third round pick this year. It would make no logical sense as to why they would say no to that. But if they say no to it and they have some weird reason, then just, what are you going to do? Talk them into it?
Let that be a lesson, gentlemen. No means no.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's just like, anyway, so that's mine. I'll pass the torch here. I'm sorry, they're outhouse. I'll let you go. But that's one of my biggest pet peeves.
No, man. I don't know if you were around for last week, the offer I received of the 312 for my Dez Bryant. And when I rejected it and commented seriously with a lot of question marks, the dude responded with a 3-paragraph email letting me know why it was a good offer and how I need to change my perspective of Dez Bryant's value.
Oh, the 312? They couldn't come off the hip for a second?
312. And the dude had seconds, and honestly, I probably would have taken it at this point.
No, I'm not taking anything less than a first for Dez. That's me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but if you saw how bad this team was, you'd probably change your mind. Complete rebuild. I'll take any picks I can at this point just to try and make this team not suck so bad.
Yeah, rebuild, I guess, is a little different. But see, those are my favorite trades. When you see somebody send like a third round or just crap, and it's like they couldn't come off the hip for a second, really? Like, or like my favorite, like one time somebody, this was a dynasty league, and the guy sent, I needed a quarterback really bad. I think I had Deshaun Kaiser, I had Andrew Luck, and I had somebody else. And this is a super flex league. And so I posted, I'm like, hey, really in need of a quarterback, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so this guy sent me Andy Dalton for Andrew Luck and my third round rookie. And I was like, not only is this just a bad trade, I was like, but at what point did he go, you know what? Andy Dalton for Andrew Luck isn't enough. I feel like I also need a third. I was just like, how was that? How did that go through his brain that was logical? Like, Andy Dalton for Andrew Luck. No, I just don't feel, I feel like I need a little extra on top.
See, he was doing you a favor by giving you a quarterback that's actually physically capable of playing in the NFL.
Yeah, I was just like, and keep in mind, this wasn't like I was going into the championship and just needed, you know, that one piece. This was like midway through the season, and I was like a subpar team. You know, after losing, I think I lost A-Rob and Andrew Luck in that league. So it was just like, so I'm like keeping my head above water in here, basically. And I'm getting those trades. And I'm like, at what moment did he thought, yeah, add a third. That makes sense. I was just like, okay. Oh, man.
Brings us back to the good section. Look at the other person's team before sending a trade offer. Don't be stupid and offer them something they don't need.
100%. And I can't tell you, let me make this clear, Twitter community and those of you listening to this podcast, I cannot tell you how many people, you know, run in the website and the Twitter and all that jazz. I love doing it. But I can't tell you how many times people will say, hey, I got a lot of wide receivers or I got a lot of running backs. One or the other. I got a lot of a position. I got a lot of wide receivers. Let's just say for the sake of argument, I really need a running back. What wide receiver do you think I should get rid of? And I'll start looking at their team, and I'll be like, you know, honestly, like Will Fuller's maybe somebody you could afford to move on from. Or I'll say, hey, you know, Demaryius Thomas, you've got some older guys and Dez and Demaryius Thomas, but I feel like Demaryius Thomas is valued more, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll say, well, who should I target? What running back should I target? I'm like, it's not about the specific running back you should target. It's about the specific team. You need to take that piece, that wide receiver that you have, and find the guy that does not have a wide receiver and has tons of running backs. That's how a trade gets done, because this person sees, oh, I'm giving away something I don't need and getting something that I do need. That's how this works. If you're sending a trade to the guy that doesn't have any running backs, who has tons of wide receivers, hey, do you want Demaryius Thomas? He's going to be like, no. I've got tons of wide receivers. I don't want any of these guys. I need more running backs. I'm in the same boat as you, dude. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's unfortunate. And you're like, yeah, like, what? Don't do that. I recently got a trade one time, and it was a one quarterback league, and a one quarterback league owned Cam Newton, Marcus Mariota, and I had Mitch Trubisky on my taxi squad still. And someone sent me a trade. It was like my first round pick, it was a later one, it was like 110, 111 for Patrick Mahomes. And this is a one quarterback league. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? Like, I was just like, come on, Patrick, join the gang of quarterbacks I'm not going to start.
Don't forget, this is Dynasty. You don't win by weekly scoring. You win by having the prettiest roster, and Patrick Mahomes is a sexy asset right now. Again, these guys are trying to do you a favor. You're just not looking at it the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So don't be that guy. Look at the team. Understand that this is a dance. You need to be getting something, yes. Don't look at what you need to get. Look at what also they need to get in some ways. Obviously, you want to win the trade. That's, of course, what the whole game plan is. You're trying to move up to the power rankings. But also understand that, you know, you don't want it. This person is not a merchant who's just taking monopoly money and being fine with it. You need to give them some essence of what they need as well. So if a guy has Gronk and another good tight end, no, I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to trade Ertz to him. He just doesn't value him at the price that Ertz should be getting, because guess what? Here he has tight end, you know, set and locked and ready to go. I mean, the only way I would ever have in a team, if I had Gronk and let's say Njoku, and someone comes up to me with Zach Ertz, the only reason why I'm doing that trade is because I'm getting so much dang value, it's stupid. That's the only reason why I would ever trade for Ertz. It's just not a position I need. Why trade for a position I don't need? Unless I'm completely ripping you off.
Unless you're like me and just plan on flipping them right away anyway.
So, all right. Do you have any other like bad juju for the old trades?
Yes, I do. And this is a big one for me. On my notes here, I have in quotes, your guys. What this means to me is people that are willing to overpay for guys that they like. You know, I love Diggs. I love T.Y. Hilton. I'm not going to go and offer Michael Thomas plus for these guys. I mean, good for you. You got your guy, but at a cost that'll end up hurting your team in the long run. And also, your guys means people that value the players on their team more than they really should just because they're on their team.
Yeah, and that's another thing. And here's what I'll tell you, too, about your guys. Like, people say, oh, it's my guy. I think one thing that really helps you get rid of the my guy theory is start joining a bunch of leagues. Not only is it fun to play a bunch of leagues, but I'm in so many leagues, I think I own just about one of every. So are there people I'm partial to? Absolutely. I'm, you know, that's thing. But I also am well aware of my price on each person. And I'm not going to skew that because I just really like a person. I tell people all the time, when I joke around, they make a joke about it, the trade addicts. But everybody's on the board. There's not anybody sacred on my team. Now, there are some people that are maybe going to be more expensive than the common price right now. You know, there may be somebody I'm higher on than the rest of the world just because of my, you know, data looking or whatever I the stats and the daters and things I look at. And I'll tell them, you know, someone will come to me and say, hey, I'm interested in Allen Robinson. I'm like, okay, what are you thinking about? And so they send me, you know, well, I'm thinking about this, this, and this. And I'm like, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm pretty high on Allen Robinson. You're going to have to pony up. Not saying he's off. I'm just telling you, you got to know that I value him high. And he's not one of my guys or anything like that. Just through my statistics and analytics and things that I'm looking at, I project him to be here. And if you're not in that same boat, then maybe a trade can't get done. I mean, he's on the board, but he just, he got to want it.
Keenan Allen for me is my guy like that. Some guy came at me with Alvin Kamara and George Kittle for Keenan Allen and Kyle Rudolph. Now, honestly, value is probably on the Kamara side. Keenan's my guy. I don't know what it is. Maybe I just like the cut of his jib, but something makes me value him a lot higher than everyone else does. But like I said to that guy, if you're going to come after the king, you better not miss.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's like, at the end of the day, though, too, because I started doing a podcast with Katie from Under the Helmet, and she was talking about that. She said, you know, there's just some people that you want to build your team around. And she's like, I'm one of those people that I don't want to trade off the people I want to build around. And I said, well, I'm the same way. I have those cornerstone pieces. Like, we just are in this new league together. We just started it up with the 1-1. I like to kind of I honestly like to trade off my first round of a super flex, but I didn't. I had the 1-1, and you know what? I love DeAndre Hopkins. To me, he is the clear 1-1. Don't at me, bruh. I'm tired of this Todd Gurley stuff, man. He's a great player, but I ain't about that life.
Hashtag always Odell at the 101.
You know, I like Odell. There's nothing against Odell. To me, honestly, it goes Nook, Odell, Gurley. And that's blasphemy to some because, once again, I'm seeing Gurley's go 1-1 in startup drafts more ever than ever. It's so much. Honestly, the only reason why I put Nook, and we're getting sidetracked, but that's fine. I put Nook above Odell is just because of all of the situation. It's not just one little bit of it. It's everything. You know, we know what the quarterback for DeAndre Hopkins is. We know that there are no off-field issues with DeAndre Hopkins. We know that he is a wide receiver opposite of him that takes away coverage, but also doesn't really take away targets. Like, I don't feel like he's fighting, you know, Will Fuller for targets. He's just a good complementary piece. I just feel like he's talented. And honestly, if you take away the 1 year of Brock Osweiler, who makes literally everybody look like awful poop, I mean, I swear, I mean, this may be a bold statement, but I'm pretty sure Brock Osweiler would make Jerry Rice look bad. He was just such a bad quarterback. And so that was really hot. But still, I mean, if you take away that year, DeAndre Hopkins has been just a legit, I mean, just not even just like, hey, he's been pretty good. No, he has been like a top five wide receiver pretty much every year outside of that. And I'm not a huge fan of take away this season or take away games because they still happen. But I don't know. I just... And then you add, and if you were to say, well, you know, it's just the off-field issues. That's the only thing that's different between him and, oh, and keep in mind, DeAndre Hopkins has missed one game in his entire career of football for health reasons. But I mean, so you got to start stacking all this up. There's DeAndre Hopkins' resume. Here's OBJ's. We've got off-the-field issues. We've got drugs. We have an uncertainty of quarterback. We have an uncertainty of even his team. We have injuries. It has nothing. Do I think that Odell Beckham Jr. could outproduce DeAndre Hopkins this year? Sure. But to me, when you're talking dynasty, I would not be floored if OBJ finishes as the wide receiver 3 and DeAndre Hopkins finishes as wide receiver 4. You know, do I want to deal with the uncertainty of OBJ for one position above it? I mean, that seems a little ludicrous.
But you're missing the point. Odell has the top of his hair frosted. So in my mind, 101.
Oh, no, but DeAndre Hopkins has dreads, man. I mean, this man is a fierce lion. He is saucy. I'm not lying. I'm looking.
All right. Well, we have officially derailed. Let's get back to bad trading habits because this was a little bit of bad podcasting habits.
Oh, that's the franchise. I'm pretty sure we start off with like this intentions of doing things and stuff. And who knows where we end up.
Well, I guess that's sort of the fun of it. Okay. Bad things. Bad franchise. Bad things. All right. Well, rejecting without comment, we pretty much already talked about that. All right, so the worst thing a trader can do, the non-answer.
Yeah, the not even a, and I'll tell you this, I will always send a counter or a comment, but there's sometimes if you shoot me a low bowl offer, just awful, I'll send a counter, but it's a counter that's in the other direction. Like, I'll just send you an awful trade. And to me, that's almost my spiteful, it's almost a spiteful trade of, listen, if you're going to shoot me this lowball offer, this is what I'm going to shoot back at you. And sometimes it kind of frustrates them. Sometimes I also think it puts them in check to make them understand that I realize that you just sent me a crap trade. Here's a crap trade. See how that feels? Yeah, it does not feel good. Now, if you want to come to me with a legit trade, I'm here, bruh. But if not, you know, I too can send crappy trades. I forget what trade I was in, but I had a Devy League, and someone sent me, what was it? It was, he wanted to send me Le'Veon Bell, which I'm not mad at Le'Veon Bell, but in a second round pick, I believe, for Jarvis Landry. No. So Bell in a second for my Julio Jones and my Kareem Hunt. And I was just like, are you just hoping I push accept here? Like, I love me some Bell, but that's insane. And I was like, and so I kind of sent a crap trade back. And then finally we almost did a trade, and it was a debate of I was going to get Bell and Landry, and I was going to trade away Julio and Hunt in a third round rookie pick. And I was like, so I think it was one of those things. I think I took over a team, and I think the guy was just testing the waters to make sure I wasn't a noob, or I don't know. But I was like, listen, I love me some Le'Veon. There is no way in God's green beautiful earth I'm giving up Hunt and Julio for him.
I am a firm believer in always lowballing the new guy, but that is too far.
Yeah, I was just like, okay. Well, and the thing was too, it's like, I don't know.
All right, well, that's our good trades, bad trades on traders. Well, if you're listening to this, you probably know all that stuff already, but share it with your friends so you can let them know why they suck at trading. And now we move on to the trading post. I picked a random trade from one of the Trade Addicts leagues. This one's from Trade Addicts 2. Again, Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team, Superflex, PPR, and tight end premium. All right, so this trade is the 1.04 and Deontay Foreman for Jordan Howard and Corey Davis. What do you think?
I saw this in the docket and I reread it like three times because I don't know who got the 1-4 in Devonta Foreman, but they got hosed. I want Jordan Howard and Corey Davis. Okay, let's put it this way. I would trade the 1-4 and Devonta Foreman just for Jordan Howard or Corey Davis, let alone both of them together. Now, listen, I know maybe some people just like cringed a little bit, but this nonsense, the rookie picks, is just gone too far. We do it every year. Repeat after me. Not all rookies work out.
Not all rookies work out.
Thank you. Because we do it every year, these people that believe that they can just get a million rookie picks or just a handful, and they're guaranteed gold. You know what I got with the 1-4 2 years ago? Corey Coleman. Corey freaking Coleman. And even if you want to sit here and say, oh, he still has value, blah, 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 you're not trading Corey Davis for him. And, like, I mean, Laquan Treadwell was all the hotness. Yes, last year with the 1-4, you probably ended up getting Dalvin Cook or Christian McCaffrey. Could you get somebody really nice at the 1-4, like Sony Michel or maybe a Nick Chubb that falls? But Sony Michel, I'm hoping, Michel, he becomes Jordan Howard. I'm hoping for that. Like, that's what I – so and then, you know, so it just makes no sense to me. I have been a huge advocate, and that's fine. But I'm a huge advocate, unless I'm in an orphan or I'm just rebuilding because my team has went awry or something like that, which very rarely happens. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, you know, if it's an orphan, usually that's when I got to kind of. But outside of that, it's like I end up trading a majority of my rookie picks just because of how much you can get for them. The 1-1s, the 1-2s, and the 1-3s are the ones I'm interested in because those are usually the ones that maintain their value. But after that, I'm just not, yeah. Like, I'll trade 1-4 for Jordan Howard, and I wouldn't even pause or think about it. Like, I'd just be like, yeah, sure. Not a problem.
So it's safe to assume if a trade goes down in the Trade Addicts League, I'm part of it. So which side do you think I got?
Did you get Jordan Howard and Corey Davis?
Yes, I did.
Boy, you silver-tongued devil, because...
Well, yeah, you say you don't like rookie picks, but I love them. I don't really love to use them. I love them because everyone else loves them, which means I could sell them to them.
Yeah, and by the way, listen, if you're rebuilding, Everybody that rebuilds or says, oh, I don't like my team, I'm rebuilding. They make the silly mistake of trading for these rookie picks now. These rookie picks are super expensive right now. What you need to do, if you're in rebuild mode, you're not going for these picks. You're going for 2019 picks. You need to be selling the farm to get 2019 picks. And then next year, this time next year, you're sitting there holding seven picks going, who wants them, boys? And everybody's going to lose their minds. And you're going to have some in the beginning. You're going to have some at the end. You're going to have some in the middle. But you're going to be sitting there pretty with your 2019 first-round picks that everybody's talking about. And you would be like, oh, it's a shame. I'm going to have to draft this whole class by myself. And then people were going to go, oh, no, 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 no. Here's Jordan Howard for your 1-6. And you go, oh, my gosh, it's such a shame. I guess I'll take him. And then next thing you know, you can just built yourself a whole new team. That's the picks you're going after if you're rebuilding, not to 2018. So I'm not saying completely against it. I'm just saying that's not the picks you're after.
Excellent. Excellent point. Well, that was the only trade we have to talk about this time. You know, we're kind of at a slow point in between the combine and the NFL draft. Not too many people want to make moves because they want to see where players get drafted in the NFL draft. All right, so now I want to introduce our first game. It's a complete and utter ripoff, but I put a bit of an outhouse spin on it. This is a game of keep, trade, or drop. But since I'm the outhouse and I like poop jokes, this is floater, sinker, or pinch. Floater, someone you're going to float out there for a trade. Sinker is someone that's going to sink, so you're going to drop them. And pinch is someone you're going to hold on to.
All right. So what's our first group here, there, outhouse?
Okay, so first we're going to go with quarterbacks. Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, and Jared Goff. Floaters the trade, sinkers the drop, pinches the keep. What do you got?
Oh, man. So I'm torn here. Okay, the person I'm keeping, I think, has to be Jared Goff. I think that he just has too many weapons behind him. I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Rams. I want to be part of that. There's this talk of OBJ going there. That just adds to the, you know, to the fire. I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of go out and get a tight end with this class coming up. I think that they're giving all the weapons to Jared Goff that he could ever want, and I want to be a part of that. As far as the trade and drop goes, I think I'm going to have to trade. So here's my dilemma. I think I can get more out of Patrick Mahomes, but I also don't believe in Patrick Mahomes as much as everybody else does. I like Patrick Mahomes, but I think that we've somehow managed to just give him this godlike status. And it's like the guy played two games. And I understand that he's a starting quarterback, but Mitch Trubisky has played more games than Patrick Mahomes. And you can say, well, the coaching staff has seen what they like and blah, blah, blah. But there's nothing like an NFL game. There just isn't. Practice isn't like it. I mean, for those of you, I've never played on the NFL level. However, I will tell you, though, I have played, collegiate sports. I've also played high school sports. Our practices were nothing like the intensity of a game. So, I don't know. I just have a hard time giving Patrick Mahomes this elite status that some people just be assigning him. So, in saying that, though, he has that elite status. So, I think I'm going to go ahead and trade him, try to get some big money off of him, because I think I can get more out of him than I can Trubisky right now.
You know, I was kind of hoping we get some arguments going on this first one, but I completely agree with you. Mahomes definitely has the highest trade value out there, so he's got to be the floater. And while I love me some biscuits, Trubisky's definitely the sinker in this one, which means we are pinching some Goff. All right, now we move on to wide receivers, and hopefully we don't just agree on this one. AJ Green, Stephon Diggs, and T.Y. Hilton.
Oof, that is rough. That's actually so good. I may use that in my podcast tomorrow if you don't care there, outhouse, because that is saucy.
I would be honored.
All right. Well, I want to use it then. All right. So here's mine. I'm going to keep AJ Green. I think that he is an elite wide receiver. He's a wide receiver one. I think that he may be going on the downflux of his years. But in saying that, though, I'll still take, you know, 2 to 3, 4 years of production at wide receiver one level. I'm always a big advocate of win now, and I'm a big advocate of if I've got 2 or 3 years to fix a problem, I'm fine with that. The next person I'm probably trading is Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs' value is really, really high. There's a lot of Diggs believers, and on top of a lot of Diggs believers, there's also this man named Kirk Cousins, if you haven't heard about him, who's coming into town, and it has just shot his value even more so up. Not to mention the last time they saw Stephon Diggs play was basically that moment when he caught like the game-winning touchdown. And there's a little bit of recency bias, I believe, in some of that. But whatever. T.Y. Hilton, I think, is my drop. I mean, out of these three, in real life, I'm not dropping him. But he just – there's just, once again, there's so much uncertainty. We saw him last year, and I said this before a couple years ago when somebody was hot, how good is T.Y. Hilton, or is he just a really good wide receiver to a really good quarterback? We saw him last year without Andrew Luck, and it wasn't a good thing. And with Andrew Luck coming out and saying, oh, I'm close to throwing. Dude, you've been close to throwing for a year and a half now. Like, when is the status change? You know, when do you update the status on Facebook to throwing? So and there's not a complimentary back to him. There's no running back. There's no complimentary wide receiver. I mean, there's just so many questions with the Colts that out of these three, he is the riskiest by far. I could see T.Y. Hilton getting back to wide receiver one status, but if you were to tell me he stays as a wide receiver three, I would not be utterly floored either.
All right, well, apparently I didn't make that one as hard as I thought I did because I completely agree with everything you just said. So let's just move on to running backs. Jerick McKinnon, Derrick Henry, and Carlos Hyde.
Well, all right, so I'm going to keep Derrick Henry. The reason I'm keeping Derrick Henry is I don't think his value took a little bit of a hit with the Deion Lewis showing up, but I feel like it's going to be a 1-2 punch. I feel like a lot of people are trying to mimic the old Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, you know, type combo. I think Deion Lewis is going to be more of the pass catching. But I feel like Henry's going to get the goal line work. I mean, that's valuable in an offense that I project to be on the rise. I really like what they're doing with their offense or their hiring of their offensive coordinator. The person I'm selling is McKinnon. I'm not a big McKinnon believer. I don't think that he's going on his fourth or fifth year in the NFL. I have to stat check that. But, you know, I just have a hard time believing that a running back needs 4 years to show that he is a running back one. I don't know of another situation where somebody says, oh, he was just in a bad situation and now he's in a great one and he can be what he's supposed to be. And it's like, he's been in the league for 4 years. This is his fifth year. And it's like, whenever he played this last year, he was behind the same offensive line and with the same team, the same coach, and yet he wasn't as productive as Dalvin Cook. Like, Dalvin Cook was destroying worlds, and then when he went down, Jerick McKinnon had the role for literally like one game, and as soon as Latavius Murray got healthy, he lost it. And it's just like, I don't understand. I think that we're more in love with Jerick McKinnon's situation of him being the main back, quote unquote, at the 49ers than we are in love with his talent. And I would not be absolutely floored if they draft a running back this year, the 49ers. I also would not be absolutely floored if they don't draft one this year, but this time next year, they're talking about how they need to find somebody. So I'm trading him just because of him. The drop here is going to be Hyde. Just because, I mean, there's just so much rumors going around that they still are looking at Saquon Barkley. I don't believe so. I think a lot of it's just rumor mill trying to get people to to make picks that they shouldn't, or for some, you know, the Browns to be able to trade the 1-4 to a team that needs, you know, but out of these three, I think he runs the biggest risk of just losing a role. So that's where I'm at.
Finally, we come to a point where we disagree. We'll put it out there. I am a Jerick McKinnon believer. I don't like using the term truther, so I stick with believer. Dude is crazy talented and is finally in a situation where he'll be used as a key component of the offense. And, you know, you point out that Dalvin Cook goes down and Jerick McKinnon didn't do as well as Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook's a lot better than most of the running backs in the league. And Jerick McKinnon was the third best producer at running back in the Vikings behind Adrian Peterson and Dalvin Cook. I mean, a lot of people, most running backs would be behind Adrian Peterson and Dalvin Cook. If I were to say, hey, Tyler, you are the third best running back between behind Adrian Peterson and Dalvin Cook. I mean, wouldn't you take that as a compliment?
Yeah, I just, but you hit it right on the head. I don't understand, like, why. I just never have heard of a running back saying, well, here in 4 years or 5 years, I want to get my chance, and then I can be running back one. Almost every system I've ever seen, if you're doing the work, they're going to give you the work. You can look it up online. He had 150 attempts for 570 yards. That's 3.8 yards per carry. And then you're like, well, what about the year before that? I mean, Matt Asiata was sharing touches with him at one point. What's Matt Asiata doing now? I think the guy's athletic. I just don't know how good of a football player he is. And so mix in he's athletic with a great landing spot. Everybody's like, oh, he's the best. And I'm like, I mean, you knew he was going somewhere. Why didn't you buy him before if you thought he was such a good running back? You're just buying the situation. And in Dynasty, I don't buy the situation. I don't, because the situation can change. We saw this happen with Todd Gurley, right? He was in a terrible situation. The situation changed. But Todd Gurley is such a talented running back that when the situation changed, now he's getting taken at the 1-1. So I was buying Todd Gurley a few years ago because I believed in the talent of Todd Gurley, not necessarily the situation.
All right. Well, regardless of what you think, McKinnon is still my pinch. I think he'll be dependable. I don't care. I know San Francisco's going to be drafting somebody. That doesn't hurt his value in my mind. That's why I'm going to be floating Derrick Henry out there. I know people are terrified of what Deion Lewis is to that team, but still, you'll get more for him than you would for Jerick McKinnon anyway. And I think Carlos Hyde's just the obvious sinker in this one.
Yeah, I agree. No, I mean, so to me, I'm selling high on Jerick McKinnon right now. I'm afraid that they are going to – the floor is going to fall out, whether it's next year or this year. I am not – and that's just basic Dynasty rules. Do not buy high. Or you sell high and you buy low, just like stock. The only person I would ever buy high is an elite talent. I'll buy high on Odell. I'll buy high on DeAndre Hopkins because they are high. There is no low. They're elite talents. But McKinnon is not an elite talent. Ergo, I do not buy high. No.
All right, last and finally, we have our tight ends. I tried to dig a little deeper, so hopefully we get some interesting opinions on this one.
Yep.
Kyle Rudolph, George Kittle, and Jimmy Graham.
Oof. I'm keeping Kyle Rudolph. To me, he's the best tight end in here. When you factor in age, I mean, Jimmy Graham obviously outperformed him last year, but I when you talk about Rudolph is, I think, 27 years old. When you start talking about tight ends, you know, they'll play 34, 35. They don't care. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy on Minnesota with, you know, Kirk Cousins as his quarterback, who I don't know if y'all know this, but Kirk Cousins likes him some tight end. Maybe you've heard of, you know, a guy named Jordan Reed. He was relevant at one point when he was healthy. Kyle Rudolph, I feel like, never really gets the respect that he needs. I guess he's just in the bottom of that tier one or tier two, however you want to break it up. I'm trading Jimmy Graham because I feel like he's going to give me the most value. Him moving teams made his value shoot up. I'm not sure why. I'm not a huge fan of Jimmy Graham in Green Bay, really. I think that I just don't understand that he, with his age, and everybody says, "Oh, he'll be a target, red zone target for you know, Aaron Rodgers." And I'm like, okay, he had 10 touchdowns last year to Seattle when Seattle had no running backs, and their main game plan when they got anywhere near the goal line was throw it to Jimmy Graham. And I'm like, so if you weren't on Jimmy Graham to begin with, why are you not on him now? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why did the move makes you interested? You should have already been interested. He was already doing Jimmy Graham things. He's changing teams. It takes time for him to get used to things. The year that he went to Seattle, the first year he went to Seattle, he did not do well. And then finally, you got to mention the fact that Green Bay doesn't use our tight ends. Remember when Martellus Bennett last year, everybody was freaking out last year when he went there? Yeah, he did nothing. And it has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. Can Aaron Rodgers use a tight end? Absolutely. Does he? Typically, no. And so I'm just trading. Yeah, so I'm just trading on that sales pitch of look at, you know, Graham. There's no one else there. It's Graham and Adams. That's the only people getting the ball. I think Green Bay is going to get a new wide receiver. I think you need to trade him soon and get what you can for him. And then Kittle, I'm dropping. Everybody wants Kittle to be something, and I like Kittle to be something. My issue with Kittle is I believe he was a third or fourth round pick. I believe it was third. Someone's probably going to have to stat check me on that. I would not be floored at all if you see the Niners go, hey, we want to give Jimmy Garoppolo every opportunity to succeed. And they go out and they got a ton of draft picks and get them a Mike Gesicki, get them a Mark Andrews, get them a really good tight end and go, here you go, Jimmy. You have all the reason to succeed. And then the Kittle owners are going to be like, well, crap. So I could be wrong, but I just, once again, it goes back to, do we like the talent or do we like the situation? And I think that's an important question to always ask yourself when you're looking at trades or drafting people.
I agree with everything you just said, except I'm going to change up my answer a little bit. Kyle Rudolph is the obvious keep. Kirk Cousins likes himself some tight ends, and I like myself some purple reindeer. I'm going to drop Jimmy Graham. Honestly, I don't think he has that trade value. I think everyone's on to the fact that Green Bay doesn't use tight ends and the fact that he's 100 years old. And if you looked around at the Trade Addicts League, George Kittle is a gigantic, huge, wonderful, amazing trade piece. I don't know why that dude has like the value of a mid-first. So I would definitely use him as my floater because I think, especially in these tight end premium leagues, you can pull in something nice with his potential. All right, well, I think this is where we're going to call it an episode. Thanks for listening. You can give the podcast a follow at Trade Addicts Pod. You can give me a follow at Dynasty Outhouse. And we are now on iTunes and SoundCloud. Give us a rating and review. Tell us how awesome we are. Give us a subscribe. Let the world know how awesome you think we are. And Tyler, tell them where they could find you.
Yeah, so you can follow me at Tyler Gee NFL. But my personal account, I love it, and I love being all that jazz and things. But the main account you need to follow is at F3Pod. That's kind of a collaboration of me and Nick. And our writers, we have tons of writers. A lot more stuff comes out of there. It's from articles to our podcast to our giveaways. We're giving away a T.Y. Hilton jersey, our merchandise. I mean, you rankings, you name it, it kind of comes out of there. So anywhere that's been my focus. So follow at F3Pod. And, of course, listen to us. We're on the fantasy football franchise. We're on pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast, we're there. If you tune your microwave into a certain setting, I think you mess. So Yeah, just make sure, because I had some people being like, I was Googling on iTunes, I Googled F3 pod, and I was like, unfortunately, the Twitter handle is not accurate. It's the fantasy football franchise. We had to settle on the F3 pod for our Twitter handle because somebody already took the FF franchise, and I think they have like 6 followers, and I was like, really?
I think you're going to need to break out some of those big franchise bucks and buy that guy off.
It's fine. All right. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a lot of fun. I've been real good friends with the Outhouse here for a while now. We're in a good league. He's a good dude. So thank you so much for having me on. I'm glad that you're getting going on this podcasting business, brother.
Yeah, man, this is some scary stuff. But thank you for coming on. And if you ask me, you're definitely the good dude between the two of us. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for listening. And if you're ever worried that you're sitting there, that you're the only person addicted to trades, don't worry. As long as the trade addicts are around, you're never alone.